What up, what up? Welcome back to the Post Show, part-time otaku podcast. What is this? Post Show number 116? That's all right. I think that sounds about right. We're back. The Royal We. Grant is here as well. He's feeling better. We're back at it again with the white vans. And we have a busy week, or busy episode, rather. What do we cover? Frieren, the finale, obviously. We talk about how we've both been spoiled on a number of things manga-related. But we won't spoil it for you, so chill. Solo Leveling in its penultimate episode, Shangri-La Frontier. And we both managed to catch the Ninja Kamui pilot, episode one. I know there's more than that out. I think we'll probably try and catch up on it a little bit. And then a bunch of fun news stuff, including Anime Japan 2024 announcements that came out, and a whole bunch more. So thank you so much for listening, and enjoy the show. Hey there, Grant.
Hello, David.
Look at us, dude. A couple of buds.
Yeah.
Reunited.
Reunited.
We're back at it.
God. Yeah.
Welcome back.
Feels like putting on a warm sweater. I've needed that.
I'll be your warm sweater anytime.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. You're totally sweater sized for me. That's perfect.
Aw.
No, I'm glad to be back. I was quite ill, and it bothered me to no extent. I definitely missed two really big weeks for the show there, but we can make up for it. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
In the grand scheme of things, what are 2 weeks?
Yeah.
You know?
It's a free pod. You know?
It's a free pod.
It's a free pod.
I think I told people, hey, if you want to complain, don't.
Mm. Yeah. Or pay for it.
Yeah, you chumps. Maybe we should put a PayPal.
Like for you.
And donations accepted. You know, maybe we should do some of that.
Yeah, dude. Coffee. What is that? Buy me a coffee?
Yeah. It's like a tip jar thing.
Tip jar, yeah.
I'd be fine
with
that.
To buy more manga. We're slowly becoming... Well, not you, but I'm slowly becoming a manga person.
I don't think it's that slow.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we can start there, because... let's start with Frieren, because it wrapped up. The first season's over, and I'm you know, we should talk about, the finale. But the immediate question that I have is, I loved it so much that my question is, do I just continue with the manga? Is this the moment I cross over?
Ooh, this is a good one. Liana jumped back in as well after the finale. There's, I think she's, just the way, the release order kind of goes on the Shonen Jump, or the Viz app, rather. It kind of goes, volume at a time, and I think, it was perfectly timed with the finale, the next 12 chapters kind of went up, and so she jumped right in on that, but... It's one of those ones, it's beautiful. We see it in stores now all the time, obviously, because the show.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a really good statistic. This came out since the premiere, the manga sales have doubled, which is, obvious. It's one of the biggest shows of the year, last year and this year. But it's great, man. It's the one. It's beautiful. It's so you in so many ways. And, you and Leanne have been back and forth, over the past couple of months on how they both offer their own thing, right? Any good manga, and then anime adaptation. So, but yeah, man, I think this might be the one.
It's crazy. I talked about a video, I forget his name already. I talked about a director, the showrunner, and I think director of the series, Keiichiro something.
Oh yeah,
you saw the
Sunny Boy.
Yeah, so he did a couple key things on Sunny Boy. He did one of your shows. Almost, he did a couple on Mob Psycho, and then I think he might have done. It might have been Oshinoko, or it might have been something. Oh, it was something else that you were into.
Okay.
And I was like, holy shit.
I'll go back and find the text there.
Yeah, or just look on our Instagram at Part-Time Otaku Podcast on Instagram.
Check it.
And there's one of the... I think Vivian put one of the slides devoted to him, because I talked about some of his experience in general. And one thing that really sticks out is I think they composed music for the show early on, during the storyboarding process, which makes a lot of sense. And apparently that's uncommon for anime because, sound usually lags a little bit behind. But man, I'm rewatching it right now because Sam is really into it.
Nice.
And, we're under 10 episodes in, but she's I'm surprised that you like this. I'm like, you won't be surprised for long. There's action, but
it starts cooking. Yeah.
It starts cooking, but also I think it's slow paced and high fantasy enough that she's digging it. Mm-hmm. So I have the benefit of doing a rewatch immediately after it finished. And when you're paying attention to little things like, you know, the Himmel stuff and all that. One, on rewatch, it's great. And two, you really appreciate the music.
The cues are such incredible.
So all that said, it's like the finished product is so good that it's like, damn, I love it so much that I might be robbing myself of it if I read ahead in the manga, because like the anime is actually so incredibly strong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The reveal. Do you, okay, I will say this, but even like with our experience of having finished the show, do you feel like there is a lot of surprise moments, or is it, you know, it's kind of the conversations along the way? Like, it's
That's
not like
a great point.
You know, it's not like Jujutsu Kaisen, where it's like that explosive Phoenix episode. We're all going like, oh shit, you know, we're just sitting there kind of feeling empty. You know, More Than Words comes on. We're just sitting with our hands on our knees.
We have to talk about Jujutsu in a minute.
It definitely underplays like the moment, like the big action. So when it's there and it's, you know, it's big and it's explosive, not so much the final episode, but the previous one. But I don't know. It's kind of like the show feels like going on a walk, like, you know, on a hike, you know, like, and then that's kind of like the messaging of the show and all that. And it seems obvious when you say it out loud, but like, it's just like the little things that are said along the way that have like the most weight throughout the show. And, you know, I think reading that, those are the kind of moments in my experience, you know, because I've read quite a bit of manga now at this point, like the poignant written lines, I always find hit a little harder reading them in the moments and kind of like putting the scene together with, you know, like the panels and all that. And, you know, the anime kind of just adds that much more. But I think something with like a big hit, like a big moment, like a verbal moment, it always for me now at this point kind of hits a little harder in reading it personally.
That's a pretty good point, you know, because I remember, like, here's a good example is like Attack on Titan, right? Like we had so many kind of false starts with like, oh, this is the final season. And then like everyone would be like, okay, screw it. You know, it turned out to not be the actual final one. This time I'm reading the manga. And like every time you and I were like, no, we're going to wait. It was always so hard.
Yeah.
Because Attack on Titan is very different in that it did have those big like, oh my God moments. But you're right. Mm. This isn't really the same. So like maybe I could kind of get the best of both. Maybe I could read ahead, enjoy it, let it hit me in like a whole new way. And then by the time the second season comes around, it's like you get to enjoy the ambiance and the tone that they create. And it's almost like a completely separate thing, you know, with the coloring and the characters and the voices and the music. I don't know.
Going back to Jujutsu Kaisen is a good example. Like, Leanna, like, read, you know, well ahead, you know, before season two started, right?
Yeah.
So she had, you know, all, like, again, like, there, these so, like, such massive moments and reveals and fights and this and that. It never ever, you know, and I've asked her, like, it never once has taken the air out of the experience for her, right? Like, again, maybe it's action versus, you know, kind of like a more strolling along story like Frieren. But even then, like, you know, she was sitting there on the couch every week of like, boom, like they did it. They pulled, like they made this look the way it is. And, you know, it's, I don't know, man. I don't think you would be shorting yourself by reading it.
The question is, do I do it on an iPad or do I open my wallet and pay for them all physically?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Leanne and I do both. Like, there's the ones that the series that we really like, we want to own, you know, we'll read them whichever way, but
it's kind of like seeing it in the theater first and then pay for the Blu-ray if you love it.
Kind of, you know, but the thing is with her, like, she has told me, like, whenever you use these apps, like some series kind of keep the little fixings and fillings at the beginning and the end of like a volume or at the end of a chapter. Sometimes they don't, they're just edited out. It's just like, it's just story. Like, you know, it's like going from one chapter to the other. But when you own the physical, a lot of the time, the majority of like series, it's a part of the package, right? To get your like utmost value for buying a volume, like a single volume, like you get like the little gag runs at the end of the chapter or whatever, like the kind of like the bonus stuff or like kind of how this was made or what this was inspired by, like that kind of thing. So I would say, you know, open your wallet, but either way, you know,
something to think about. Maybe, you know, maybe the move is I just start reading from the beginning of the manga. Like, I don't like try to pick up where it left off and just see how it hits me. Like,
yeah, you definitely want to start
that I've already watched. And cause you can zoom through a manga, right, when you're really digging it.
Yeah, dude.
So maybe I start that on like iPad digital and then just like see how it hits and go from there. But But yeah, you know, while we're on Frieren, and like, what did you think? How did the ending impact you? Are you happy with it?
Happy with how it ended.
Yeah.
Ciri is, I couldn't believe, because, you know, we had met her like a couple times over the, mm-hmm. the season now, or Ciri rather. Fuck, my phone just went off. Fucking Ciri. I think it was just interesting to see like how bitter and like child, like they really hit home like how childish she is.
Yeah.
Specifically in this last one, you know, just because kind of Frieren's comments, but it did, like, the ultimate bittersweet experience. Like, this became a show. It was really nice. This became our family show. Like, Kryn got into it like probably maybe 10 episodes ago. Mm. Like, she just like saw us watching it one day, or one morning we were watching an episode. She came down from, you know, like a Saturday morning kind of thing, and she was like, oh, this is like, because we had originally tried to get her into it, and she didn't really, you know, bite right off the bat. But whatever episode she had saw, she was like, oh, like, I'm in. Super in. And, you know, we couldn't watch it without her. So we're all excited. And, like, we kind of all, like, just had this moment at the end. Like, you know, we had, not, like, right after the episode ended, like, we finished it, you know, brushed her teeth, that whole thing, put her to bed. And we all kind of, like, had a hug of, like, damn, that was nice. We all enjoyed, like, really watching together. So it was, like, I don't know, it was very, sweet. It was nice. It was a good family experience with the show. And I think that kind of just made the ending that much more special for me and us, but it's perfect. Like, it's so funny how, like, this whole arc, the whole, like, you know, the third, or the different challenges or whatever, like, they were going, like, at the speed the show has been going for, like, the past, like, 15 episodes or whatever, but there's something about that last episode where it just slowed it right down to, like, the first episode. It matched speed and tone and just kind of, like, the sullenness that, like, you know, mm-hmm. that we kind of got from Frieren as we met her, and, you know, we're slowly meeting everybody. I don't know. I just thought it was a good, like, it felt like a book closing, but not like the book is over. Like, we're now reading on to the next. That, like, it genuinely feels like the next thing is coming.
That. You know, it feels like the end of a great first book in a series.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree, and I don't think a lot of shows can really have hit that home. It's more just like, see you next time, you know, or like, you know, you expect the next thing. But how about you? How do you feel?
Overall, really good. I think, like, because we've been watching some of the early episodes in between these last couple of weeks, it's, like, made me appreciate how far Frieren has come just in this first season, and Fern as well. I liked the focus on Fern in these last couple episodes. I liked the focus on their relationship. I also, like, there's just so much that's good about this episode. We already called out the soundtrack and the score. Also, the guy voicing Himmel is doing, like, maybe his life's work right now. Like,
yeah.
The way, I don't know what he's evoking, but he's nailing it in every flashback. The flashback scenes are always so strong, in my opinion.
Agreed.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to, I don't have anything, like, super specific, like, plot-wise, because this show really is more of, like, a feeling than anything, you know? I don't know, man. I'll be watching the show as long as they make it.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Like, you know, assuming, you know, nothing awful goes wrong, studio doesn't go bankrupt, you know, but...
Well, you know, that, you know, like, Himmel's Bakugo, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Range on that guy. Yeah.
Okay. That is the definition of range. That's nuts. I was positive, you know, just because, like, lately we've been getting better at that, like, identifying voice actors, and, you know that...
Sometimes they just take you for a spin.
Yeah, that... I would have been confident that I'd heard him elsewhere. I would never have guessed Bakugo.
Wow.
Who did they put Bakugo in recently? And his first words on screen were die. Remember? It's something we watched.
Oh, Demon Slayer. He was the...
Oh, yes.
Windjashira's brother. The dude that had, like, the demon power. Genya? Was that his name?
Genya, yeah. And it's funny. Yeah. Like, you don't... you hear Bakugo there, but you don't hear either of them in Frieren. That's nuts. No. Shouts out, dude.
Really, just a very, you know, like, not muted is not the right word, just a very reserved. It was just a very reserved, because that was his character.
Dainty.
Like, the, you know, the, yeah.
Tender.
Yeah. Yeah, tender. I would say tender.
Tender performance. How do you, that's just hard to do. And he nails it every time. It's just so impressive.
Yeah,
okay. So.
Going to miss it. There is rumors, I don't know how true this is, but there is rumors there's going to be a special episode at some point soon. I don't know if it's going to be, like, a recap with, like, a season 2 announcement, or if, I mean, like, they straight up said at the ending, like, you know, like, the first arc is, like, finished or whatever. Like, you know, there is more to come, clearly. just like the way the title, like the ending card there.
Yep.
But there, again, there is a rumor there might be like an OVA or something to kind of hand off to season two.
Tide us over. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Like a Dr. Stone situation, like something in between, introduce a character.
Because the manga is ongoing, no?
It is, yeah.
Fuck. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
Okay, so I mentioned we were going to cover this, and we have to, because I'm very curious about you and Leanna, too. I won't say through no fault of my own, I'll bear a bit of responsibility. I think just like our proximity to the algorithm, having this podcast, sure. You know, we are occasionally prone to spoilers. We did pretty well for Attack on Titan, for example, but yeah. The amount of Demon Slayers, the amount of Jujutsu Kaisen spoilers from the manga that I've been hit with, and just in the last like month or so. I'm talking major character deaths, like practically end of series level type shit. Like, because I don't think the series is over, but I think it's like maybe in its final strides.
Also making the news right now, fans have been very vocal. They're kind of like not into what's being served to them right
now. So that's, I got like, I had been spoiled on something big and I was like, ah, fuck, I looked away in time. Like maybe I was wrong and I'm just going to hope that I was wrong and I'll try and forget about it. And then I saw like fan stuff going around like yesterday and today about how displeased they are with the current arc and like
a lot of rehashing from what I've read.
Yeah. And they're kind of like, oh, this happened and that, and it's so predictable and he killed this person and that person. And it's like, oh, okay. So all the spoilers I saw earlier were correct. There's even like fan animation fights. Of like major fights that are going to take place that are like popping up on my feed. So I've
kind of interesting, actually. It sucks, but it's kind of funny.
It's actually some of the animation I've seen is actually pretty impressive. And it's like, damn, people are really excited about this. And that's great. But it's like, I wonder how far out the current manga is from the anime. And if I've been spoiled for like, you know, three seasons in the future. Because if that's the case, that's like such a bummer. I mean, it may not matter because, you know, we're going to get, like, I'm sure, like, a long, healthy break from Jujutsu anyway. And then maybe by the time season three rolls around, like, I won't care. But, like, it is a current bummer.
It is, yeah. It's one of those ones where it's funny because this is where, like, you kind of him and hawing on what to do with Frieren and whether you read it or kind of just hold off. I'm in the boat of, like, I have had a couple major things spoiled for me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, fuck it. Like, maybe I should just watch it and then, be, like, you know, be similar to Leanna. Just be like, enjoy how they, you know, how they pulled it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the anime. That might be the real. Because I had a couple pretty major ones. And then a fucking volume cover art got me. I was like, okay. Well, that's that. So that's, like, coming down. You know, one of those things you're like, well, that's coming down the road. But, so I don't know, man. It's kind of a bummer. Actually, I had some pretty major Solo Leveling ones spoiled for me.
Oh, really?
Jeez. Which really, we're taking bummed me out. Yeah, dude. It, like, didn't even stand a chance. It was like you know, the reel comes up and it's like 0.5 seconds into the fucking reel. Bastards. You're like, well, I know now. You know, it's just...
People out there are filthy, dude.
Keep it off my algorithm. But that was quite the episode last week. Holy shit. Or Saturday.
Solo Leveling? Yeah. I was going to say, that was probably their
best. That was the budget.
Because I didn't realize that was penultimate, wasn't it?
Yep, penultimate.
So they got one more episode. But then I also saw in the news that the second core will be this year.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I didn't know they were having a second core right off the bat. It is one of those shows. It's not like, obviously there's major fights, but the show doesn't look that great to like not, you know, 12 episodes kind of seems like, come on, guys.
You know? Yeah, it's funny because like, I'm glad you said that because like there is a pretty passionate fan base around Solo Leveling. Like, oh, you don't get it.
Very.
The big thing is its animation. You know, if they do it as well as the manga did, it's going to be unbelievable. And it's like, yeah, no, it's like it's definitely good.
It's one of the, it's funny because I haven't seen a product in a while, or you know, like whether it's anime or TV or whatever. The two sides are like you're just like you're dumb for thinking that thing is like as good as it is. And then the other side is just like, you guys just don't get it. You know, it's so funny. Like to genuinely be in the middle with this show, which I am. Like, I really like it for what it is.
Same
Bronson,
here.
Bronson, you know, I was talking to Bronson about it the other day. He's really, I was surprised he said he was watching it. He's really digging it. You know, I know Joey's watching it. He loves it. Yeah. But, like, I'm definitely right down the middle. And it is funny to see the two sides just be like, kind of you don't get it. It's the best, you know? Like, it is, like, power fantasy at its absolute base level.
It's funny for someone to have that opinion. The idea that it's hard to wrap your head around it is a little...
Unreal.
Kind of funny. Unreal.
It's everywhere. Online.
You're really not understanding the intricacies of the fact that it's a power fantasy.
I find it so interesting, too, because, you know, on Reddit, like, whenever, like, a new episode of a show comes out... Usually, like, the episode discussion is on the general anime thread, Reddit, and then, you know, there's a thread for the episode, and then you can kind of, like, bounce your way through, like, the individual ones if you want to read about them. There is none of that for Solo Leveling. It is only on the Solo Leveling subreddit.
That's funny.
So, it just becomes a flame war. Like, I'm like, no, like, this was shit, that looks shit, and, like, I had to mute it and just go look for it individually because the...
they'll compare, what, are they comparing, like, the key art from the manga?
Yes, that's like a big thing. And
oh my god.
It's, you know, it's like one just snuck in of like, oh, this is, you know, coming up like 20 chapters from now. It's like, oh, cool. And that's like how I got burned like a couple times with it. But I don't know. Like, you don't have to think with this show, but no. I also, it's interesting because it's not a show where I can, like, you know, I'm not, obviously, like, I don't really, you know, doodle on my phone when I'm watching anime because I don't speak fucking Japanese there. But, you know, it's one of those ones, like, it does have my attention and I do not feel bored. But, like, they're not exactly serving up, like, you know, it's not like a, you know, like a, you know, grass-fed steak there. But, you know, but, like, I'm still very attentive to it. And it's, like, it's interesting, like, what is feeding me to, like, you know, be, it's one of those shows, like, fuck, like, right on, it's Saturday. Like, I am pumped for Solo Leveling. And majority of the episodes are, like, okay, let's get to the juice. Like, I want to see the punches. Like, I want to see fighty.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very, you know. I don't know. I don't want to diss the show, but, like, as I'm watching it sometimes, it's like, you know, ooga booga. Like, I want to, you know, beat stuff up. You know, I feel like a caveman watching it, but it's, I'm enjoying it. It's really, really good. I don't know. It's something about it, man. It's great.
No, I'm on the same page. Like, when it's on, I enjoy it, but I've rarely felt like, oh my God, I can't wait for next week. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, it's good. I'm happy that it's here, but it's definitely not like this crazy dark horse of the season that, like, is blowing my mind and everybody's minds.
No.
It's like a fun show, and I'm glad, you know, it kind of exposed me to this whole genre. Like, I'm still enjoying Shangri-La.
I would say Shangri-La is doing what Solo Leveling is doing 5 times better.
I think so. I don't know about 5 times better, but I'm not fully caught up on SLF yet either. But, like,
yeah, dude, you abbreviate that shit.
Yeah, dude, just like they do, dude.
Just like they do.
I know what I'm doing. But, like, I am enjoying it a lot. I'm at the part where I want to say I'm around, like, 12 or 13 or something. They're just entering... Or, no, they just started their first fight. I don't know if there's more than one. But the protagonist, Sunraku, and his two friends have just engaged Weathermon.
That literally lasts, like... 8 episodes.
But we've been getting ready for this arc, like, to kick off for a little while. And I think, like, they just had their first run with, like, confrontation with him, and it's mostly Sunraku was holding them off, and then got one shot, and then he had like a revival,
the res thing.
Rezzed, and then it cut to credits.
Definitely, like, week to week. Wasn't hard. That was the one, like, when that arc, like, that arc kicked off, that was like, fuck, like, I want it to be Sunday. Like, I want it next, you know, I want to, it was dragged out, like, over, you know, however many weeks. You have, you know, the boon and the benefit to, like, watch it right through. But that was, like, hard every week. Of, like, oh my God, I really.
Fun binge, I will say that. Like, the show in general, like, I rarely only watch one. It's kind of a mood, right? It's like, oh, once it's on, or once I'm in there, I'm like, ah, shit, let's just keep going. Which is a very fun thing to have. So I'm glad I have that show on the back burner. But I also managed to get my hands on this Ninja Kamui thing.
Fucking A, dude. I still only watched the first episode.
Same.
Now, okay, all right, let's do it. Let's hit it.
But there's 5 or 6 more out at this stage, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And the big thing for me was, like Sam ended up watching the first one with me. And it's funny because I was like... I think I paused the show. I was 10 minutes in. I sent you that what the fuck message. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
But then Sam came in. And I was like, yo, like, you should watch this with me, because this is kind of nuts, and it's only episode one, and I don't know anything about it. So just, you know, so we restarted it, and it's funny, we're 5 minutes in, she's like, you know, I don't like this stuff. And I was like, all right, fair enough. Because it's just, like, violent action.
That right? opening that opening set piece in the alleyway is...
Unreal.
Unreal, dude. I've been wanting to talk to you about this for so... There's a specific shot, what they do, like, with depth perception, of when I think he, like, catches someone's wire.
In his teeth.
And kind of pulls them to him.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And what they do with, like, the camera, it was, like, very... It felt like live action. And it was just one of those things, like, whoa, like, you do not see that in anime ever. That was, like, you know, Hollywood AAA. We're 5 minutes into this thing. It already blew my mind. There's a lot of, like, really weird things and snickers in that first episode.
Yeah.
When he cuts to, like, the English singing, I burst out laughing. At, like, the birthday around the campfire.
Oh, yeah.
I could not take the show seriously.
Sam, too. I was like... And I remember I said out loud, I was like, why do they do... Like, this never translates well. It never... No. Like, you could have put the show... Or you could have put the music on. But don't make the character look... Try and look like he's singing it. Like, I don't know. That was just... That was a weird...
To me... Decision. That felt like an Adult Swim thing. Put this in. Because they're co-funding this, right?
Yeah.
This is like a half-American, half-Japanese project, so...
Good point.
I don't know. That felt very... Toonami to me, you know, that era. But this is directed by the director of Jujutsu Kaisen season 1 and 0. And it's very evident, because I think I was telling you it felt like it was watching Gojo throw down. Yeah, especially in like the latter half of the episode.
Oh god, yeah, that was super fun.
Yeah, I don't know, really cool. I'm looking forward to jumping back in. I got to clear the rest of the season stuff, but man. Ninja Kamui. Out of nowhere, too. It's so hard to get a hold of and watch, too. It's
ugh.
Crazy. Like,
this is like the summertime render Heavenly Delusion thing Disney all over again. Like, it's not literally Disney Jail, but it's just like, it does suck that we're having this conversation more and more. And it's not just relegated to anime. It's like, no. I was, you know, I was at like a dinner recently and someone's like, oh, are you watching this? No, what's that on? Oh, it's because we're watching this. No, what's that on? And it's like, it's a bit, real life is currently a bit like an SNL sketch on the number of streaming services out there.
Yeah.
But it's just such a pain in the ass when something is on like some weird distant third cousin of a service that's barely legitimate.
Yeah.
So that's a pain in the ass. But I thought it was really cool pilot, and I recommend checking it out with like zero context. I will say half the fun was going into it Zero Dark Grant and being like, what the fuck is going on? Because the benefit is that it's just like full on action immediately, and you're still trying to get your bearings and being like, who's the good guy? Is this a good guy? Is it a misdirect? And then like by the time the first episode wraps, you know just enough to be like, oh, shit, I need to see more. Or you're going to know right away whether, like, okay, it's not for me. I think it's what we call a good pilot. It's like a solid introduction.
Yeah, I would say it's a solid introduction. I wouldn't call it a good pilot.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion. Like I said, there's that middle section dragged.
Oh, it took you out of it?
It was awful. It was awful, dude. Like, it was one of the... I don't know. See, I don't want to get too into it for people to watch it. Because I do think going in blind... is your best way to view this show, especially, you know, the pilot. But there's something about the middle that the second that middle port or that middle section or that middle third starts, you track immediately what's going on. And you're like, I now have to sit through this for 5-10 minutes till like, clearly we're going to get into that third, you know, that third part.
The third act,
where everything's going to get ugly. And like, we're going to clearly go to like what the show is supposed to be. It felt like it was like a time waster, like in the middle part of the episode. Because like, again, maybe it's just me, you know, a little more experienced. I watch we watch a lot of anime, a lot of shows. You know, you kind of see the story beats and how, like, it only goes in like one of, you know, like 10 ways, right? And you're bound to have seen them like once or twice before.
Could be a little.
I just clocked it right away. And I was like, oh, okay, now I got to sit through like, you know, farm, like fake farm, you know, simulator or whatever till like he gets to the part where, you know, the show becomes Ninja Kamui. But I don't know. It's that first and the beginning and the ending are top tier. Like, if you like fighting in anime, hand-to-hand combat, it does not get better than this, especially this year. I don't think anything touches it. even Jujutsu Kaisen. I think probably the Chozo fight was the closest thing that even came close to like hand to hand where it was like, oh yeah, this is some good shit.
Yeah. So. But to be fair, it's like, you know, that's one scene that was why I put Jujutsu so high up on my list at the end of 2023. Mm. It's like when you see Jujutsu Kaisen clips floating around and you realize how many of them are from a single season of anime, that's the fucked part.
Yeah.
That's like absurd. You know what I mean?
And I bet you there's like a lot more of that in it. Like, I feel, I just want more of that, right? I don't think anyone is fooling themselves in like what they're getting into with the show. Like, we know, you know, the tone and the direction and all that. I just wanted to see that. Like, I don't know. It just felt like too much. I understand. They got to get through. They had to do it. And I'm just hoping going forward, there's just less of that. Because I don't think that's really what I want with this show. So.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, and obviously, like, just while we're briefly on this subject, like, did you see any of the footage from the Blu-ray release
without the dimming? Yeah, they're all out there. Everyone can see them. They're all out.
Pretty neat. I'm glad that it's out there. It is a bummer that, like, it's a bummer that it had to happen this way, for one. Like, that specifically the Makura-Sukuna fight, that it had to be, quote, like, fixed.
The Toji one I saw, I think, was the biggest improvement.
Which one? The Dagon Toji?
Yeah, the Dagon fight.
I don't even know if they changed a lot so much that it's not dimmed.
It wasn't dimmed, and it felt like it was less, I know the whole thing was kind of set, like, in the beach.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like there was that flare from the sun.
Yeah.
Where all the colors were so, like, so bright. Where
so saturated. You
know, it was saturated, and it was dimmed, and it kind of goes away with the dimming completely, and then just, I think, the saturation is just a little less. And it was just easier on the eyes. I was like, oh, okay.
I think the dimming thing is like a Japan like regulation thing for broadcast. It's so weird.
Is it the stroke or the, it might be the Caesar thing? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, very odd. It looks so much better undimmed. You saw the new footage of the Makura Sukuna fight? That was neat.
Yeah,
was gorgeous, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to throw that up on the TV and...
Yeah,
it was like, you know, it was on Instagram, Twitter, and all that stuff. And I said, like, in the moment when we watched the episode, like, can you imagine, like, we just saw that for what it was when, you know, I understand we couldn't, but just looking back, it's like, damn, you know.
Man, I'm getting excited for a little man cave action. I think I sent a picture a while ago in the group chat of, like, that little, you see that little nebula thing that I got, that little projector that goes to the
scene? Yeah. Yeah.
It sets such a vibe in the office when I'm gaming. I'm like, I can't wait to have like a little TV, you know, like get a little man cave action going or have an entertainment room set up.
They are the best.
Looking forward to that. Okay, where do we go from here, Grant? Is there any other anime you want to cover? I've got some new stuff I want to mention.
I got a lot of news. Well, Anime Japan was this past... Anime Japan 2024 was this past weekend, so a lot of news came out. I just kind of just... clipped out some stuff that I think is kind of semi-relative to the podcast, but what do you got? You go first.
I sent this to you on Instagram, but I feel like it's so random. Did you know that Timothy Chalamet doing a Bob Dylan movie thing? Isn't that just crazy?
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't know how I missed that.
So Chalamet, like, we could talk about that forever, but we're not gonna. Because on the other side, there's that. Chalamet has, like, some kind of, quote, first look deal with Warner Brothers now.
Yeah, I did see that today.
And then it also broke that Jeremy Allen White is likely to play Bruce Springsteen in a biopic.
Oh, I don't see that at all.
What's so interesting to me, though, more than those two pieces of news, is, like, how linear Chalamet is, like his... rise to fame has been is truly like what they lay out in Entourage. You remember that show?
Yeah, I never really watched. Like, I've seen some episodes,
especially not good on a rewatch. I'll tell you that. a lot of the jokes are pretty out there and don't age well. So don't get mad at me. Sure. But it is interesting just like watching him. Like, you know, first you got this movie, then that movie, then, you know, a Netflix movie, and now all of a sudden he's fucking Paul Atreides, a literal messiah, and now it's like, all right, okay, let's get you the Oscar nomination for the biopic.
Really, Wonka's making bank.
Wonka, it's kind of crazy to see what's happening to him. I'm very interested to see his career. And
like, who's making the Dylan movie?
I have no idea. I it was in the thing, but I already forget. But like, man, I don't... the biopics, I'm getting a little... in general...
the good Bob Dylan fatigued. Movie has already been made. Did you ever see the one? I think it was I'll Be There, where like a bunch of different actors and actresses played like different versions of like Dylan over the years.
No,
like Kate Blanchett played one, like the big portion of the movie. Fuck, who else was? I'm trying to think. I know she was like the big name. Like she played majority of Bob Dylan during the movie. But that was a great movie, really good movie, and kind of like the different eras and the albums and like, you know, because like. His, like, he just, his sound, like, I grew up in a huge Bob Dylan house, like, fuck, it couldn't escape the man, but, every album definitely had, like, its tone and its sound, and, you know, like, from the, like, the folk, you know, the, basically folk punk, before, you know, punk was really kicking around, or I guess it, punk was kind of floating around, but,
yeah.
Anyway, just, like, and then, you know, that evolves into, like, the Americana and all that, but, you know, and then, contemporary Dylan, but, I don't know, it just, it's one of those things that, like, you know, are they just doing because he looks like him? He is a great actor, but like he can really pull off looking like Dylan. Is that like why like there's like such a big push for this? But I don't know. It's I'll watch it. I like the kid. I still haven't seen Dune 2 yet, but he's never led me astray. Like he was in that really shitty Adam McKay movie with DiCaprio there, and he was the highlight of the movie.
Wait, you're still talking about Chalamet?
Yeah.
What DiCaprio yeah. movie?
It was on Netflix. It was the one. Don't Look Up. Awful movie.
Never saw it,
but not good. Like the Defender, it's one of those ones. Like, there's two movies in like recent memory where people like will dive. Like, no, this movie is actually good. One is Looper, awful take, horrible movie, and this one, people like there is a lot of defenders for it. I thought it was just bad, and but he was like truly like the best part of him. He just played this burnout, like you know, kind of flowing through. It was just like a role I hadn't seen him in before. And crushed it. Great comedic timing.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But all right. I'll watch it. Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well. Okay. So Anime Japan was this weekend. They're like I think it was 3 days. The amount of announcements were insane. A lot of really cool stuff. But I'll just kind of go with like some of the major. A lot of premieres were announced.
Yeah.
So Suicide Squad Isekai is premiering this July.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say that's like around the corner.
Right around the corner. Oshinoko officially July 2024 as well for season 2. Very excited for that. ReZero season 3 October this year release. Very excited for that. Dave's now is the time to catch up.
Yeah, we'll see.
No. That would be you would hate me. You would get like halfway through that and you're like I can't. This is too grim and too dark to try and catch up. Another really cool thing I saw it's Wit Studio and Clamp. Clamp is the manga collective that made like the Cardcaptor Sakura series from when we were kids, and, like the manga and the TV show. So they did the character design. Wit Studio is doing all the animation. It's called The Grim Variations. It's coming to Netflix April 17th. It's a 6-part anthology series based on the Brothers Grimm tales. I don't know if they're 30 minutes each or if they're 40 minutes each, but
I feel like there's you some told stills. Me about this. At one point.
I don't know. It was news to me. I think it was announced like 4 years ago, but they've been radio silent.
I've heard you talk about the Brothers Grimm. I don't even know what that is.
Like the fairy tales? Like,
Give me one.
Hansel and Gretel,
I think. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, like stuff like that. Like very grim, dark, like, you know, Scandinavian tale, or European Scandinavian tales. But anyway, so there's going to be 6 episodes. I'm not sure the length of each one. But there was a minute trailer and some stills that came out, and it's like Clamp, it's clearly their style, like their character designs, and like just, you know, Wit Studio doing their thing. It was nice to see in the trailer. It looked very like 2D, less like, you know, they kind of been playing around with 3D animation and CG a lot.
Yeah.
Seems a little more traditional from what I saw. I think that'll be a fun one to cover because it's probably all going to drop at the same time.
I'm down with that.
My Hero Academia Season 7.
Next.
No, dude, you're going to love this. We're already freaking punching down. They are already catching so much flack.
What for?
The most recent trailer. So apparently there's like a, like it's like kind of like an in-motion scene, but it's a kind of like a held a couple seconds on a shot. Like what is one of, it will be one of the major moments of this season.
Okay.
And was a huge moment in the manga. And the fans are just absolutely flaming, but like the studio.
The fact that they put it in the trailer, or does it look
No, because the comparisons from the manga to the show could not be night and day. Like it is.
Oh, really?
Phoned in, dude. Like again, it's just a still And yeah. Like, again, it was funny. You were joking about, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen and fans making, like, animating future fights.
Uh-huh.
Just across the board, people are, like, animating this like, you know, this still or this scene. It's a Todoroki scene. Or he's kind of, like, in center frame, kind of looking mm-hmm. from behind, kind of looking, you know, in towards, like, him and what he's looking at. But that's been all over. That's been funny. That's a really good read if you look at the season 7 trailer.
All right. I'll take a look. But I will, for the record, I'll still probably
watch it.
Dude.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, if it's good, we'll talk about it. If it's not, I think our approach this year should be, if the episode was good, we talk about it. And then if it was just like, you know, them doing their usual thing, we just don't bring it up.
Yeah.
We just, yeah, you know, we don't, like, you know, we don't waste time. We don't do any of that. But, and then finally, Dave, I couldn't help myself. So MAPPA announced a new original story, an anime called Zenshu.
Okay.
I would like to just read you the synopsis and we'll just unpack it maybe afterwards. Okay. Pardon me, my throat's a mess. After graduating from high school, Natsuko Hirose starts her career as an animator. Her talent quickly flourishes, and she makes her debut as a director in no time. Her first anime becomes a massive hit, sparking a social phenomenon and earning her recognition as an up-and-coming genius director. Her next project is set to be a romantic comedy movie themed around first love. However, having never been in love herself, Natsuko struggles to understand the concept of first love, and as a result, she's unable to create the storyboard, causing the movie production to come to a standstill. They are literally making MAPPA the anime. Dave, in this trailer, there's literally a scene of her at her desk. Like, she's this genius, like, this, you know, dark, like, you don't even see her face the whole trailer. Her hair is so long, it's going, like, all over her front.
Mm.
A staffer comes up to her, needs some like sign-offs on some still or whatever, like work, animation work. And she literally just like X's out, like, no, do it again. Come, like, just no, not good enough. It was just like the most like flying in the face of all the news I've ever seen. I'm sure this has been in like the can for a while, Dave.
Yeah.
I highly recommend you watch this trailer. The irony is not lost on me when I watch it.
How do you spell the name?
What's Zenshu, Zenshu. It's a minute and 17 seconds. I've watched it 5 times since it came out this weekend. It truly looks amazing. Like,
interesting.
Again, that, but it's just like, like, they don't give a fuck.
Nah, dude.
It's not funny. Because, like, again, Jujutsu Kaisen really put, like, a spotlight on, like, how bad things really are bad and dire. But, like, for them, from this to come to them, or to come from them, is just, like, wow. Like,
it is a weird
the
thing.
The sun. You flying close, or what?
Yeah. It is a weird thing when companies do this in industries that feel like they're ripe for disruption, and yet disruption never comes. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just weird because sometimes it feels like they know that nothing will change, so they may as well take advantage of something topical.
Yeah.
It's a interesting, I don't know, I can think of a couple other recent examples, but yeah, that sounds odd.
Yeah, very odd.
Oh, and
but again,
I wanted to revisit, because you led with, one of the early ones you mentioned is ReZero Season 3.
Yeah.
So I've still never tuned into that, but like, we've watched some isekais since, it's an isekai, right?
Big time, yeah.
And I, in general, was like not really a fan, but we've watched a couple, right? Like, we did Tokyo Revengers, and like, that being an isekai wasn't its main issue. And then Mushoku was technically an isekai.
Yeah, big time, for sure. I think definitively, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, I have a bit more experience with the genre now, and I wonder,
ReZero is probably my favorite.
Yeah, because I remember you said it's up there, and they
really
conveniently have like the director's cut of S1 all up on Crunchy, so maybe I should give that a go at some stage.
Which is so crazy.
When is it supposed
to
come for S3?
October.
Facts. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all summer, dude.
All summer, dude.
Heavy watch. I don't know, the second season. There's parts of, it was one of those shows where there's parts of it where I felt it dry, just because the whole, I can't remember if I revealed the, like, kind of like the, what the show is, and kind of like the, not the loop, or maybe, like, there's kind of like, they play with time a lot.
Sure.
And death and harm is like kind of like a big, it's a very dark show. Like, it kind of paints itself as like this kind of, like, you know, Mushoku-esque, like, kind of bright, high fantasy thing. And then, like, it's straight. It doesn't dip into horror, but it kind of, like, it dips into psychological stuff. Like, sure. Slightly psychological horror. Not there's crazy, monsters, but nothing crazy. But, like, they really tackle some, like, you know, what the whole, like, the concept of the show. Like, they really kind of dissect, like, what that does to Subaru's mind.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of, you know, just... There just comes a point where he's like, this is just, like, my life now. Like, you know, like, there's, you know, and, like, how to move forward and whatnot. It's, again, it's not a perfect show. For me, it's a 9 out of 10. Or no, it's an 8 out of 10, I think. I don't know. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. And, like, the way they kind of handle death is very interesting. And memory. And, it's funny. It kind of, not quite, I wouldn't compare it to Frieren. That's bait. I'm not going to bait you like that, but they do play around with, you know, like missing memories and stuff like that, and like trying to assess and like, you know, kind of having to relearn to know somebody. Sure. It's kind of a big part of it, and Frieren kind of touches that, like remembering people and like kind of assessing the memories. But I don't know, it's a really good show. Super dark. I really think you would like it, but
generally speaking, I tend to like the darkness, so I don't know. We'll have to take a little peek. Yeah, man. Take a little look.
Some of the best anime screams I've ever heard.
Oh. Well, I love an anime scream.
Yeah.
Did you see... This isn't really an anime, but did you see that this... I didn't even know this was a thing. This X-Men 97 series launched?
Yeah. Doesn't do anything for... I'm not... I never watched the show when we were kids, so...
I think I might have. So, I don't know. I might give her a spin, TBD.
Mm.
The bigger...
People are loving it.
Yeah, the bigger story in Disney World right now, it feels like, is the Star Wars Acolyte stuff.
Yeah, very up and down, you're telling me, eh?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen quite a few posts on, like, Out of the Loop, like that subreddit, which is a great subreddit, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, can someone explain to me why people are angry about this? And it's like, there might be a couple of reasons. It's like, you know, there's vocal minority... angry people that are just mad that it's like super diverse, and also other people that are mad that Disney just keeps shitting out Star Wars things and doesn't seem to be thinking about the legacy. And I don't really, it's weird when you trying to explain the pulse of the internet and why they're angry on something you're not fully plugged into.
Yeah.
One answer I saw come up often at the top of every one of these threads is, nobody hates Star Wars as much as Star Wars fans. And,
very sure.
I was like, you know what? Yeah, that seems about right. So I think I might just let that chill and wait for it to come out and hear what people have to say.
Pretty soon. It comes out in June.
Yeah, and that's kind of worked out well for me. You know what I mean? People, like, I watch what is well received. Mm-hmm. And when things aren't well received and I watch them anyway, I understand why they weren't well received. So I don't know. I think my, like, urgent Star Wars fandom has kind of cooled.
Yeah.
So I think as well. I'll chill on it a little bit.
I will say, like, this is gonna make me sound like a Star Wars nerd, but when they introduced, because this whole setting, they're taking out of, like, you know, the Mandalorian verse and all that. Like, they're going, so a couple, like, maybe, that's probably 5 or 6 years ago now, they introduced this whole High Republic arc.
Yeah.
Or a series of books, and it's like 100 plus years prior to like Phantom Menace kind of time.
That's what this is supposed to be, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, I've read a couple of those books. Some of them are pretty good. You know, like, just a lot of like the Star Wars books are just okay or whatever. Some of them are really good, but mm-hmm. I'm just kind of curious to see if like they actually make an effort to give like a visual identity to this era and not just like make it steampunk western like it has been for the past like 15 years, which I do enjoy. Like, again, like I really, you know, not all the stuff at Star Wars is great. Again, I'm more like, I think they've done a lot better and more important stuff in the animation, but we don't need to go over that again. But I don't know. I'm just curious to see how they handle the scope. And I haven't watched the trailer. I do just really want to walk into this blind, but, I don't know. I am looking forward to it. So
yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, dude.
That's about all I got, homie. What about you?
Yeah. No, that's it. That's not Killed a lot. It. Didn't get a lot done today or this week.
We're back, homies. All right. Thank you for your patience. Grant has returned. We're going to be back next week. subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music at Part Time Otaku Podcast. Give us a rating. I think you can give it like a 5 stars. I can't imagine why you'd give it anything different than that. I forgot to check if there are any questions or for this week's Q&A, so sorry about that. But usually we'll do a Q&A. We'll put it up on the podcast Instagram at Part Time Otaku Podcast, where you can also follow us, and on TikTok, because we put things out there on both those places. I think that's about it. We will see you next week. Grant, you can come back and say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.